no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
Well, today I want to talk about what's called freshness. And I want to give you a little bit of science like I like to do, because I try and always understand we are a combination of nature and nurture. There are aspects of us that we're born with and that are part of the human condition. And then there are parts of us that we take on by living the human condition, by having people who are our parents, our friends, etc. Things get reflected back to us. Sometimes things get bent and broken in the process, and we end up bent and broken as a result. And our goal is to try and to become straight. And I mean that in the sense of not burdened down, not weighed down with the things that happened to us in our past. One of the things that I love to talk about, and you're going to hear over and over again because I want you to learn it, is what's called hedonic adaptation. Now, when you say hedonic, most people's eyes glaze over but if you say hedonism, the place in Jamaica where kind of everything goes, from what I understand, then people go, oh, I get what that means. And they tend to think it's lascivious, lustful, etc. Well, hedonism really is not. Hedonism may be, but hedonic adaptation is not. Hedonic literally just means relative to the senses. In other words, you experience it with your senses, okay? And adaptation means, of course, you begin to adapt to it. I went over to some friend's house a few months ago. People that I know really, really well, and the pets and dogs inside their house. Now, I have one hypoallergenic dog, and so he doesn't smell unless he's been in the ocean, which he likes to do. But these people had like three dogs and four cats. Anyway, I walked in and literally went, ooh, like this. What do you think from? The smell. That's exactly right. These people had become nose blind to the smell in their home. Now, we become not only nose blind, we become visually blind. Remember I talked before about how when I went to visit Prague, it was so beautiful there. But there was literally graffiti everywhere on all of the walls. And I asked my publisher, I said, how did all this graffiti get started? I mean, literally, there is not a commercial building in downtown Prague that does not have graffiti from the sidewalk up above your head. As far as people can reach, there is graffiti. Some of it's beautiful art, like we have here in the design district in Miami, but most of it is just what we would call maybe gang art, but it's really just people scribbling things. So I asked him about this, and he said, what graffiti? In other words, he had become visually blind to this. My friends had become nasally blind to their animals. It is a part of human construction, us being a human being, that we have what is called hedonic adaptation. Now, it is there for a good purpose. If something bad is going on in our lives, we ultimately become less sensorily attached to it. If it's a legitimate thing, if it's a pain or something like that, it will still be there, but we begin to adapt to it. And we want that. We don't want to be constantly overstimulated or stimulated. You might consider that that's what autism may be like, you know, just constantly being stimulated. And so we need to adapt. The problem is, we hedonically adapt to the people, animals, situations, etc., that we love. And we not only no longer appreciate it, we begin to take it for granted. Teddy, come here, buddy. Come on. He is so asleep, I don't even know if I can get him to come over here. Come here, Teddy. Ooh, he's giving me this look like you had a chance. He was literally here in the chair a little bit ago. So anyway, I'll call him back over again, see if he wants to come. The reason I wanted to bring Teddy up is that every time I go outside, every time I put Teddy on camera, people are like, Oh, that is the cutest dog I've ever seen. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Which is so nice and it's so gratifying. It's not really what I love about him. You know, I think he's cute, but I just love his personality. And we did an entire jump start on how familiarity breeds contempt, okay? A lack of respect and courteousness we feel. One of the things about golden doodles that's really adorable, as I've told you, is they love to snuggle. They love to cuddle. The challenge about that is he wants to snuggle and cuddle literally all the time. When I'm sitting outside journaling in the morning about what it is I want to share with you, he's giving me this look like, why am I not in your lap? And he's patting my leg and he's wanting to jump up there. And I'm sure you think that's adorable. And it is adorable and it's wonderful. Except I have other things to do sometimes. Another aspect of golden doodles is that they follow you around everywhere they go. Not only that, now remember, I live in the Florida Keys, so I mostly wear shorts. I'm actually wearing shorts right now. But we wear almost nothing but shorts. So Teddy has figured out that he can sort of let me know he's there and maybe even try and subtly guide me with the tip of his little black wet nose. He doesn't do anything like bite me or nip me, but he bumps me with his nose. In fact, I call him a little rhino. I say he's like a little rhino trying to bump me with his nose. Again, adorable. Absolutely adorable, except when I've got somewhere to go and I realize I can't find my keys or my sunglasses or something like that or a piece of paper that I need, and literally I'm turning around multiple times looking for it, and no matter where I go, there he is. And in that moment, I don't think how adorable he is. I think, oh, little pain in the neck, get out of the way. That's what my mind tends to think. So now, let me tell you more about how to overcome hedonic adaptation, because that is so important. There is another psychological principle, and this is called behavioral economics. Behavioral economics says that we value what we lose more than what we gain. For example, if you find $20 on the street, your excitement level might be this high, okay? But if you lose $20 on the street, your disappointment and irritation level might be this high. We notice what we lose. We give more attention to what we lose than we do to what we gain, which is one of the main reasons people complain. Which is one of the main reasons that we do not appreciate more and why we complain more often. It's simply behavioral economics. Now we can say, that's a terrible thing. That's like saying human beings go to the bathroom is a terrible thing. It's not. It's just a part of who and what we are. So there's nothing wrong with either hedonic adaptation or behavioral economics. But what I want to invite you to do is combine the two. Okay. One of the things that has helped me so much, a couple of months ago, Teddy and I were sitting over at Rowell Park, the park a couple of doors up from where I live. And it's a place where all the dogs go in the evenings. And I told you, there's another dog there that looks just like Teddy. In fact, his name is Teddy. And Teddy and I were over there. And I had had a really stressful day. It was one of those things that. Have you ever had one of those days when it seems like none of your passwords are working? You're trying to log into stuff, you can't get passwords to work. Everything you think is going to take 5 minutes ends up taking an hour. And at the end of the day, you feel like all you did was try and cover up cat piles. You didn't really accomplish anything. Well, I had had one of those days. And when we got to the park, my phone wasn't working. I was sitting there and I was like, well, Teddy can play and I'll catch up on some of the things having to do with work while I'm sitting there, which is great because I can do that. So I'm sitting there and Teddy is with me and my phone won't work. After everything else I'd gone through technologically that day, my phone wasn't working. And at first, inside, what do our minds do? This is not an isolated incident. This is an indication in our minds, because our minds create narratives. That's what they do. This is an indication in our mind, or my mind at the point, that I'm cursed today, that technology hates me. Not an isolated incident, not one thing. My mind has to take the whole gunny sack of everything else that's happened that day and dump it out as a way of making myself feel, ugh. And so I'm sitting there, and the other dogs aren't around. They haven't gotten there yet. Phone is dead. And I literally said to myself out loud, I said, my phone is dead, but my dog is alive. My dog is alive. And I began to think what it would be like if I didn't have Teddy anymore. If he had run into the street or something. I don't even want to list things that might happen, but we all know that they are there. I mean, I've had horses that have just been fine and colicked and died. So you just never know. And the same is true for people, and the same is true for our lives. Can you imagine how much more we would have appreciated being able to go to a restaurant or a movie theater or go to the home repair place or whatever 2 months ago, if we could go back there? But we can't. We've lost it. The problem was all of the rights and freedoms we had hedonically adapted to, they had become expectations. They may have started out as luxuries, but now they were something we absolutely had to have. And so we adapted to them, but we didn't really notice them anymore. They were expectations, and now they're gone. Boy, we really miss it. I don't know about you, but I miss walking into a movie theater lobby and smelling the popcorn. So what do we want to do? What did I do? In that moment, something switched inside of me when it came to Teddy. In that moment, because I thought about the potentiality of losing him, or the possibility rather, all of a sudden, I loved that little dog more than I ever had. And I was able to remind myself that at some point, he's going to be gone. And so why not enjoy him now? My phone's dead, but my dog's alive. And so he and I just played and had a wonderful time that day without the other dogs. So I want you to imagine what it would be like if you were to lose whatever you're irritated about. If your phone's not working right, what would it be like if somebody had stolen your phone? Wouldn't you be grateful to have your phone back, but just dealing with the fact that it's not working right? Whenever we feel like we're being slighted, etc., it's a time for us to practice gratitude and also celebrate the ephemeralness of all things. Ephemeral means it's just not going to last. I remember one time my daughter Leah and her mother Gail, back when we were married, this was probably, Leah was maybe 10, so this was probably 13, 14 years ago. We were sitting in the kitchen and the two women had been snapping at each other all day. Gail and Leah, my little 10-year-old daughter and her mother. Because her mom is straight and kind of direct sometimes, and Leah can give it right back to her. But they had just been like snapping at each other all day. So I said, okay, that's it. Sit here at the table. I got up and I got two pieces of paper and two pens. And I handed it to the two of them, and they looked at, now they're starting to get irritated at me. At least they're getting joined together. They've got something to be upset about, me. So I give them the pen and I give them the paper, and I said, okay. I looked at her mom and I said, Gail, Leah has died, and you've got to write what you're gonna say at her funeral. What is your eulogy for Leah? What are you gonna miss? And I said, Leah, mommy has died. And you've got, I know this sounds intense, but Leah's mature enough to handle it. She did. She got it. She understood. Leah wrote out, started to write out the eulogy. Gail started to write out the eulogy. And then they both started crying and started hugging and didn't argue for the rest of the day. Up until that point, they were hedonically adapted to each other. They were blind, nose blind, and visually blind to all of the good things about the other person. All they could see was the things they did not like. And when they began to think about losing them, instantaneously, their perspective shifted. And you can and should do the same. We need to fight hedonic adaptation. One of the great books I've read about relationships was the one by Gay Hendricks. And he talked about one of the things he does when working with couples is he insists they go back and basically act out how they were when they first dated. What does that mean? That means that they are to write notes of appreciation about just like most people do when they're first getting together. They are to work and try and speak to one another. But more importantly, they are to sit and look each other in the eye, because that's what people do when they first start dating. But over time, we're just going, how you doing? Here's a little kiss. But when you first start dating, it's a lot of this. And that is just a reminder to use behavioral economics to overcome hedonic adaptation. Imagine you're losing it or have lost it, and you'll much more greatly appreciate it. Let me do one last check-in. Mary Gagne says she is in New York. Cindy says, good morning, Cindy Cahill Benson, one of our Complaint Free Life members. If you want to meet Cindy and get to know her and see how she's doing on the Complaint Free Life program, check out complaintfreelife.com. We'll give you a link in the description here as well. Good morning, says Evan. Dominic says, good morning. And Michelle Shusky says, good morning. Allie says, I know that's it's not over yet, but had to share today's jumpstart already. Awesome. Remember, if and when you share, you'll be eligible. And I'm going to stop this promotion probably in a few days. But Mark Gleason won a Will Bowen Tumblr today for sharing this message. Be sure and share, and not only share, but make a note in the in this thread that you shared, just like Allie did. Cynthia says, our lives are rich if we notice the blessings. Maria, yeah, really, the thing you're bitching about today is the thing you're going to miss tomorrow. I mean, that's summarized right there. Maria Johnson says, I was hoping the movie theaters would open just so I could get popcorn. I know. By the way, Whirly Pop. I bought one of those a few years ago. You make your own movie theater popcorn. Love it. Still got my original one. It's beat to death, and I've given them to all my friends. So if you're missing movie theater popcorn, check out Whirly Pop. And I'm not getting anything for saying that. We so take everything for granted, says Linda Farrell, and how lucky we are. We should realize it now. Hope you don't lose sight. We don't lose sight of that. I agree. When we open up, let's don't just celebrate. Let's don't start then complaining about the fact that the service is slow at the restaurant, or we have to sit 6 feet apart. Dominic says, I don't have to imagine. My four-legged buddy crossed over the Rainbow Bridge this past summer. Still missing her. Dude, I totally get it. Man, I totally get it. Now, can we apply that with people and situations in our lives? Denise Lewis says, my thoughts exactly, Linda. And Lori says, my favorite jumpstart so far. Thank you for sharing. What an honor. What a blessing. And here's my producer, Miroslav, checking in to make sure we're doing well. Miroslav lives in Serbia. He's one of the most talented men I've ever met. If you need somebody to do graphics for you or edit videos or anything like that, he's wonderful and he's great to deal with. And I'd be happy to recommend him to you. Eastport, Maine is okay. Gail Varney and Vicky are in Eastport, Maine. Vicky says, love my Tumblr. It does keep hot things hot. Great. So Vicky got her Tumblr. Well, listen, everybody. I'm going to exit here, and I'm going to go into the complaint-free meditation group, and in about 5 minutes, I'm going to do a live meditation. Now, you can't get in yet. I'm sorry. It's like a restaurant that we're going in, cooking meals, inviting a few friends before we invite everybody, and we're still probably going to limit it once we do, just to make sure everything's working great for everybody. But I'll tell you what's working great for me, and that is being here with you every morning. So I will be here Saturday morning. That's tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock Eastern time, as always. And for you, for the rest of the day, walk around and anything that irritates you, imagine if you had lost it, how you might feel, and see if that doesn't change the way you feel about that person and become, or the situation, and become grateful for it. One last connection. I see this is a great message to take into the weekend, says Cindy. Cynthia, thank you so much. And Maria says shared. All right, she might win the mug. Janelle says shared. And Mark Gleason says, great reminder to not to lose sight of good things. Listen, if you got something you want to share with me about what's going on in life, et cetera, as I mentioned, don't send me a message. Share it in this group, okay? That way everybody can not only benefit from your life and your reality, they can support you in what you're going on, and they can also see what it is that I respond, all right? Everybody, make it a great day. Celebrate, enjoy, find things to appreciate, and I look forward to seeing you live at 8 o'clock in the morning. And hopefully Teddy will be awake and off the pillow and I can actually have him with me. Enjoy today, everybody. Bye-bye.
No more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more.